Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Russell Foisey. I am your host for Just Talkin' Music. Happy New Year, everybody, 2024. I hope you and your families had a great, great holiday season, and we're into the new year a few days, and can you believe it, 2024. Where has time gone? Incredible. This is like, you know, 30 years ago, this was like a futuristic year, 2024, and here we are, right in front of us. So I wish you nothing but the best for the upcoming year, and you reach all your goals and dreams. And just as a reminder, this is a podcast where we have off-the-cuff conversation about any subject in the music industry, and occasionally we do have a guest on. We had a great guest last episode, the great Chesney Clare. But tonight we have another fantastic episode, and we're going to break down the group, the Beatles. And last year, about 3 months ago, they did a new song called Now and Then. And we're going to talk about that and break that down. And, you know, how the heck did they do that with only two live members, Ringo Starr and Paul McCartney? But we're going to let you know how they did that. And it's a beautiful, great, fitting last new song for this group. Can't get it out of my head. I've actually performed it myself in front of people, and just love what they did here. But before we get into that, let me bring in my co-host for Just Talkin' Music, Bill Miller. Welcome into the new year, my friend. Bill, are you with me?
There we go.
There we go. There he is.
Happy New Year, everybody. How you doing this evening?
The long lost Bill Miller.
Yeah, I forgot to unmute myself. I'm talking away and nothing's happening.
There you go. Well, how are you, Bill? Happy New Year, and another great episode of Just Talking Music, breaking it down.
Absolutely. Cold. Whoever left the freezer door open, please close it. It is cold up here.
Man, yeah, you know, I don't think we're used to 40 degree temperatures and wearing sweaters. That's a little strange for Floridians.
You better believe it. Absolutely. Yeah, great show. I like this topic.
Yeah, well, if everyone doesn't know, Bill and I are both in Florida. I'm on the West Coast, and Bill's closer to the East Coast of the state, and we've been hit with some 40-degree weather, and it's a nice change of pace, but, you know, I guess as we get later in the year, we'll be complaining it's 95 degrees, so we can never be happy here.
No, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Well, Bill, I thought this was a great topic.
Got the hurricanes to confirm the back here, so.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I thought this was an incredible topic to discuss. You know, ever since I've heard this song Now and Then by the Beatles, I can't get it out of my head. I actually performed it last month, and it's just a masterpiece in what this band continues to do. As they've done all along, Sgt. Pepper's, The White Album, Abbey Road, you know, you name it, they've done it. You know, I mean, you could really say that this is probably the number one band, you know, in the world. I mean, if you look at all the numbers and, you know, the legacy and the tradition they've left.
Yeah, and not to mention all the ones in the top 40 that they've had, all the gold records, all, you know, all that different stuff. And they really changed their styles throughout the year, just like some other groups had. So, and I'm sure a lot of groups have followed them. A lot of people in the table, you know. So, yeah, they've definitely had their impact.
Yeah, that's a really good point about Styles, because everyone knows that, you know, they started off as, you know, a three-part harmony, you know, She Loves You, Yeah, Yeah, Yeah.
Right.
And the girls went crazy. But, you know, as they went along, you know, they really developed a great pop and rock and roll style. You know, and you go from the La 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 stuff to Helter Skelter. I mean, that's compare and contrast for sure.
And you know, they all had their other little styles that came to play too, like the Revolver was totally different, Let It Be Ellen was different, the White Album was different. And you had the stuff where they had the, what was it, the sitar they played in, and different things like that. So they had a lot of changes throughout their career.
Yeah, they did. Well, let's break down how they did this. With technology and artificial intelligence, they were able to pull this off. And let me start with John Lennon had a cassette tape of three songs that Yoko Ono passed on to George Harrison. This was after he passed away. And, you know, the technology back then was really as such, they really couldn't separate his piano from the vocal very well to do that. And anyone knows that if you're going into a studio recording, you know, you're recording levels. So you're recording, you know, drums and bass and vocals and guitar, and you want all that separated to stack it to eventually have a full recorded track to mix it. So they didn't have the technology then to do that. They already put out one song, and I'm trying to think of it. Jeff Lynne produced it. Free as a Bird, I think, was the name of the song. And then they attempted to do something with this one now and then, and then they eventually dropped it because they couldn't get past that piano vocal separation. Now you get into today, where Peter Jackson did a very successful documentary on the Beatles, and he was really the initial you know, motivator behind, you know, this track. Through his technology, he could clearly separate the two, and John Lennon's vocals were very, very clear, and so is the piano. So now here comes Paul McCartney recording bass on top of the vocal. Here comes Ringo Starr recording new drums on it. And then they found in the archives George Harrison's slide guitar when they initially tried to work on this song in the 90s. So you blend all that in, plus a tremendous string section and an orchestra section, which Paul McCartney overlooked, and you know, and it was all secret. They didn't tell the orchestra, you know, what song this was for. Certainly they didn't tell them it was for a new Beatles track. But they put a beautiful string section on it, and you blend this all together, and you look at the video, it's just remarkable. I can think of a few songs, Bill, that they did with strings. Strawberry Fields is one, and I'm sure there's others, but the way they did it, the way they composed this, it just gave me chills. I mean, it's just a fitting end to this extraordinary band. And I've probably listened to the song well over 100 times.
Yeah, I have easily, too. It's something I can't get out of my head. And if I recall, I don't know if I've seen it in a documentary or read it someplace, but from what I understand, the orchestra was the same type orchestra that they've used in other songs that they brought back in to play this, so they were familiar with their style.
Yes.
Which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, and in fact, the producer overseeing the string section was the son of their old producer, George Martin.
Wow.
So that was really interesting, and they actually recorded that in Abbey Studios.
Right, right.
So you want to talk about nostalgia? George Martin's son, and they're going back to the same studio where the Beatles, you know, recorded, you know, all those great hits. Excuse me.
Right.
So,
exactly.
You know, he was just a nostalgic, warm, you know, feeling, and they were all hush hush. In fact, I think Paul McCartney said it was for one of his projects.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear
but that's how they did it. I mean, just to, you know, take the clarity and the clear vocal away from the piano, and then you can start building, you know, the track. And you know, the video was so cool where they took old images of the Beatles and then, you know, new images of McCartney and Ringo and blended all that in. And it's just well done. And we've talked about this before, you and I. I mean, it's just it's grossly unfair how John Lennon lost his life. You would have had 40 years of incredible music from him, for sure. And who knows? I think the Beatles probably would have got back together.
Yeah, it's a good possibility. I don't doubt that. And I, like you, I can't imagine where John Lennon's music would have took everybody, because he was so creative. I mean, he really come up with some fantastic songs.
Yeah. The...
One thing I didn't like that I was reading about as far as like putting the video together. There's a lot of people complain about how Paul McCartney and Ringo look so old compared to those used. And Ringo was in a sweatsuit and they were in Sgt. Pepper's and this, and it just didn't matter. And if you watched and read how they put it all together, that was amazing how they got it to it. I mean, think about George and John, right? They got them to look like they were in the studio with them. I mean, they were dressed up in a Sgt. Pepper outfit, you know? So,
yeah.
I mean, it was amazing, absolutely amazing.
So I thought it was really cool how they did that with the older Paul, the younger Paul, and you know, they were together with the younger images and back and forth.
Right.
I thought it was genius.
Yeah. It's I did too. Absolutely.
You know, great way to celebrate, you know, that band. And, you know, probably a lot of people don't know this. Ringo was not the first choice, you know, for their drummer. It was a guy by the name of Pete Best.
Right. Right. Yep.
And Ringo was in another band. He would be competing with, you know, the band that Paul and John Lennon were in. And they just asked him out of the blue, I mean, would you like to, you know, join us and be part of the Fab Four? I mean, you go back, Bill, to Shea Stadium. In the older interviews, mm-hmm. they said they couldn't even hear themselves. There were no, I don't even think there were monitors on the stage.
Yeah, I've seen that video a few times, and I don't doubt that a bit that they couldn't hear themselves. They probably felt like they were just going through lip syncing and whatever, you know. I mean, it's kind of hard when you can't hear yourself to know where the rest of them are, you know. It makes it a little tough.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, of course, you know, the Ed Sullivan Show, and you know, through the years, the hair got longer and, you know, the beards got longer. And,
right.
You know, personally, my favorite is the White Album. There's like 32 songs on that and of various lengths. And it's just genius stuff from, you know, Blackbird to, you know, Back in the USSR and, you know, all that stuff. I think Helter Skelter's on that too. But
right.
a lot of different genres on that album. You got pop, you got rock, you got guitar ballads, you got piano ballads. Just remarkable stuff. You know, you can certainly look up to bands like that in terms of, hey, I don't want to be boxed into one certain genre or style. I want to do it all. I want to do everything. And, you know, now and then is another you know, style they created with that ending is, oh my God, in the video where, you know, they go back on the Ed Sullivan stage and with the black suits and they disappear. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing.
Unfortunately, yeah, everybody, we can't play the song due to copyright issues. You don't want to get in trouble there, but just go to YouTube and punch in, you know, Now and Then Beatles, listen to the song, listen to, you know, the video, and you'll be moved. I mean, I read most of those comments, Bill, and people said the same thing. They were teared up and choking with emotion.
Well, yeah, when I first heard it, I got that way too. I was like, wow. You know, I mean, it does get you emotionally if you've followed the Beatles at all in any kind of way. And all these years later, here it is again. And I don't know, it touched my heart, that's for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, I give a lot of credit. And, you know, Paul McCartney's, I think, the big one of the big motivators behind this, too, you know, taking the time to really piece this together and oversee the orchestra and, you know, his parts. And I've heard interviews with Ringo Starr, and he clearly said that Paul McCartney was a driving force to get into the studio all the time. I mean, he would always remind him, hey, let's cut some tracks. Let's get in there and record. So it's 10 stars to me. I don't know how you can find any negativity or fault, you know, with this effort.
No, I don't need it. Not at all.
Well, everybody, it's halfway through the episode, and as always, we always play a track. We play a song. That's customary of what we do. And I'm pleased to have, you know, my friend here in the Tampa Bay area, Harvey Myers. Is a great singer, songwriter, musician, plays mostly acoustic guitar, but he's a bluesy, you know, kind of an artist. And, you know, we wish him well. He's had, you know, some health issues the last, you know, several years. And he's a great guy. You know, he's played many venues and bars, and he hosts an open mic every Wednesday night at a grill and bar in the Dunedin, you know, Florida area. But we're going to play a great track from Harvey, and this is called The Pyra.
Hang on one second, Russell. It slid off. I got to skew down again to find it. I must have hit my mouse and it moved. There we are. Okay. There we go. Ready?
Harvey Myers and the Pyra, great, great track from Harvey. Wish him well, and we have a few minutes left, Bill, and just recapping the great band, the Beatles, and their track Now and Then, and that's going to be it, everybody. They're not doing any more new songs. And that's what they basically said. This is the swan song, and what a great way to go out with a touching, I don't think I'd call it a ballad, but it's little up-tempo, but it's tender, and it hits you right in the heart, Bill.
Absolutely, yeah. If you get the chance, certainly look it up, listen to the song, watch the video. I don't know, to me, you'll be impressed. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. To me, the string section really did it for me. I was teary-eyed when I started hearing that, and that closing picture of the Ed Sullivan stage and them fading out. That was an artistic masterpiece, as far as I'm concerned. And bravo to everybody involved. And I think it received the video, got like 26 million views in like it was like 2 or 3 days.
No, I don't doubt that. But I know when I first got on to watch the video and hear the song, I think they were already up to like 7 million or something. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it only came out of 3 days or something. It was insane.
Yep, a band like no other. Each one had their own individual skills and talents, and brought something to the party, and. And incredible. So that's kind of our breakdown of the Beatles, you know, Now and Then track, and discussing a little bit about, you know, their history and background. And that's what we do here, everybody, on Just Talking Music. We'll mix it up, and we can talk about any subject from A to Z in the music industry. And in fact, on our next episode in a couple weeks, we will have a guest on, and we won't give that away yet. But occasionally we do bring on a guest. I like to do that and, you know, play one song from a guest that comes on, and we'll surprise you with who that guest is as we get a little closer. But that's it for us on this episode, Bill. And thanks as always for joining me in this discussion, and look forward to talking with you again in a couple weeks.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it as always. Just remember.
Thank you, everybody. This is another episode of Just Talking Music. Happy New Year again, and go enjoy 2024. Have a good night.